Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, and how are you doing today? It's the last week coming up before Christmas, and we're sure glad you're with us on this week's version of Raising Expectations. And we're excited to share with you two very special people tonight. I know you're going to be glad that you tuned in, and thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your words that you text in and the different notes and information and communication that you give me during the week. I'm thankful. Hope those prayers be an answer. Some of those have been praying for with you. And we know God's always working, and Christmas is so exciting. You all know this program is made up of people of faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe he's the only begotten Son of God, and Christmas is when it all got started. He came here to be like us so that he could die and pay the price for us, and that he could protect and make us his very own, and he's coming again for us someday. So it's exciting to be a blood-bought, born-again believer, to know that our sins are under the blood of Christ and that we are coming back. I've got dogs barking in the background, so that means that no big problem, just burglars, don't worry. But we're going to keep right on going as we get going in tonight's show. We want to share with you, first of all, as you might know already, some of the Our staff, our wonderful, wonderful co-host team, they bless my life every week. You all know me. I'm Pastor Joe. I am blessed by these people week in, week out. I thank God for them and how they touch my life. And, you know, I'm going to very quickly give a background on them again so you'll be able to follow through. And many of you ask all the time, and you'll be corresponding with them, you told me. That's great. So first of all, we have on the West Coast, we have Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Paul Hall is there in Lompoc, California, and that's where they fire the missiles off. And Paul keeps an eye on them, folks. He counts them up. Don't worry. He takes care of it for us. Paul's a retired pastor. Paul is he's a theologian. He takes the best notes in the world. He's known as the Raising Expectations scribe. Somebody told me, Paul, in a text, they wanted to get you a T-shirt that said that on it. So you never know what could be coming right on there for you. So
take it.
They're a lot of fun. They just might be coming in. So hang on to your hat. But Paul's been my friend over 50 years. He's been an inspiration and a brother to me. And ever since we went to Hardin-Simmons University back in Texas. So he's here with us tonight, and he'll be sharing with us as we look at Christmas, what it stands for. And if we go back all the way to the south part of the East Coast, we're missing the Thayers tonight. They had to fly somewhere for Christmas, and evidently just found out today because they got a hold of me and let me know. So we're praying for them, safe journey with their boys. And they won't be with us tonight, but they're with us in spirit, they said. And they're very anxious to meet our guests tonight. And they're going to catch them on the next go round when we get to have them with us again. So they are not with us tonight. Also coming in from McKinney, Texas. Who got stuck in some kind of traffic there. Texas traffic, there's so much space, it's amazing. But they do run into traffic there, lived there quite a while, had some real good ones, but on the freeways. But he'll be with us popping in any minute. That's Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer, one of our favorite pastors there in Texas. He's with Man in the Mirror, based out of Florida. He counsels men on what it means to be actually discovering God's purpose in their life. The things they go through are always for a reason. There he is with Man in the Mirror, a little bit about Ron, give you an idea there. And while we're at it too, you could sharing that if you want to, TJ, you could put up Stephanie's. I know TJ, our engineer, he's the best. He always has it ready. She also, as Ron's information is here, She has her own company she started, and I'm going to close the store behind me, and it's called Quenching Wells, and it has to do with health and wellness. She is probably the best health and wellness coach, I think, in the United States. She loves the Lord. She loves her husband. She loves her kids. And she's just an inspiration to everybody, the texts and things that she puts out. There's her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer, who's also one of our favorite guys in the world. He's 6'5", so we call him Tank. And like we say, we'll call him anything he wants at 6'5". But here's his new book. He's also an author. It's called Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary Things in Life. And that's Craig Thayer. And Craig is a great man of God. And again, God's love flows through him to everybody on this group and to so many of you as you share with me during the week. So they'll be with us. In fact, I'll tell you right now, they're going to be launching our new year with a series. It's called Fudge Withdrawals. No, that's not all. That's not it. No, that's it. But she always talks about we can have fudge at Christmas. But anyway, it's going to be called New Year's Health and Spiritual Resolutions that they're going to do in their life. And we're going to talk about what we might do to draw closer to the Lord in body, soul, and spirit. So there you have it. And now we're excited to share with you our guest. That's a quick run through. Ron will be popping on here anytime. And I'm anxious. He just called me about 10 minutes ago. So we have our guest coming to us tonight, and I have to stop and remember where they're coming to us. I'm going to let them share that part with you. I know it's on the East Coast. It might be North Carolina.
And yes, we're in North Carolina.
There it is. Yes, I hear that. Thank you, Lord. North Carolina. Thanks. That's perfect. And they were my friends. I was able, blessed, called to work with their dad and their mom, very precious people, Bob and Jerry Rich, wonderful pastor. I was a youth minister with them, and they were just leaders. Mark and his brother Roger and his sister Pam, we just had the best time there for a few years in Arizona. And so he now does some pretty exciting things in serving the Lord. And he's met a wonderful lady who he is married to. So we're going to give you, it's going to be a little less wattage for a second till we get back, but Paul's going to do it with you. We're going to give you a round of applause, not the right hand of fellowship, the round of applause. Let's welcome with us tonight.
Thank
we're
you.
We're going to welcome Mark and Belinda Rich from North Carolina. And, normally, we bring the 20th Century Fox in, but everybody liked our round of applause better, so we stuck with that, and it didn't cost as much, but that was good. So, but Mark and Belinda, we are so thankful that you take the time to be with us tonight, and if you would just share with us, Mark, maybe launch in a little bit about yourself, feel free to, about your family and everything, and how you prayed for this wonderful lady to be your wife once she met your family.
I think I'm going to let her tell how we kind of met and our kids and kind of a little Great. Background on us.
Great. And you met Roger. That's awesome. So keep going.
Roger lived with us for a while too. So that's another story. But anyway.
Okay. Okay, good. Excellent.
All right. I'll get started then. Mark and I met in Arizona. I had graduated from college and my parents had moved out to Arizona. They were going to Mark's family's church at the time where Bob was preaching. And on New Year's Eve, I went to the New Year's Eve party service, you know, the midnight service that all churches had back way back when. I was walking out the door and Pastor Bob shook my hand and he says, "Here, I got somebody for you to meet." And he says, "Mark, come here." That's how we met. It was a prearranged marriage.
That sounds like Bob. Amen.
He didn't ask if I was going to take her. He just told me I was going to take her. He doesn't ask it. You know, he just tells you.
Yeah. Oh, my. So many great stories with your dad. I love it. Boy. And that was that Southside?
Yeah. That was. Yes, it was.
Southside Baptist. Yeah. memory's still there in a while. It comes and goes, Mark, but it's every once in a while it's there.
It's just a little deeper than sometimes in others, you know?
Exactly, exactly. So you met in Arizona, and you both love the Lord, and Bob set that up. And you met Jerry. She's the sweetest lady, his mom, boy.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I met her later on because we had decided to go to this youth party. It was a midnight New Year's Eve party for the church. And then when we started dating, you know, we just became family from that point on, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Mark used to know how to ride a bus on the roof. Did he tell you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Joe, I hate to, you know, the first time we met, I hate bringing this up since, you know, anything, but I was in sixth grade the first time we met, right? So, you know,
oh my gosh,
I'm just so much younger than you are right now.
That's right. That's right. That's for sure. That's for sure. Speak with straight tongue. That's right. Yes. All right. But yeah, Southside days would have been about the same age wise. You would have been, I'm trying to remember now. Goodness.
I was in college.
College. Yeah. You were in college. Started up there. Yeah, that's great. So you came together there in Arizona, and the Lord brought you together, Nat. How did he call you into missions work? And can you share with us about, you know, about Wycliffe? We have the founder, thanks to you. She's going to be with us, and we're anxious to meet her and coming up in January. And she just thinks the world of you guys. And can you tell us a little bit about how that worked and how JARS, what it stands for, and how that came about?
Yeah. Well, you know, raised in the church and raised as a pastor's kid, you would have thought that I was more mission-minded in that way, you know, being a missionary. But I really never gave it much thought myself. Belinda had, and she really felt a call, but it just never worked out at the time. But we have four children. The last one was in college, and in about 95, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago. And they were getting out of college. The rest of them were doing well. There's the last one. And I just really, both of us just really felt God leading us into missions. Didn't know what it looked like. Didn't know how it was. I'm not a preacher. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not any kind of those things you and Paul are. You know, that's not my thing. My brother preaches, my dad, but that just wasn't my calling. So I just didn't know how it fit in. I was reading an article on AOPA magazine, which is a flying magazine. I'm a pilot. And I read an article about a JARS pilot in Australia who helped with missionary and Bible translation, getting people around.
Wow.
I just really felt a calling for that. I felt like God was saying, you know, this is where you belong. So it was, Blinn and I took a little trip down to JARS campus in Waxhaw, North Carolina. And we visited, and we felt really strongly that this was where God was leading us. But the people at JARS told me that at the time I was too old to fly. You know, it was too much training, too much time. I was 55 at the time, and by the time I got trained and ready to go, then I would be limited on the number of years I could fly. And, of course, you know, when you really feel like God's calling you and you get told no, it just doesn't always set right with you, you know. So you always wonder about, you know, was I really thinking the right thing? Was God really calling me? Is he really telling me what to do? But we still felt strongly that was where we wanted to go. So there's, you know, there's more things you can do at JARS than just fly airplanes. And so Blend and I, so JARS is part of a Wycliffe Bible translation. So there's like three entities that Cameron Towson, the founder, started. One was Wycliffe. One was SIL, the Summer Institute of Linguistics, which is at the Bible translators. And then JARS was the logistics part of it that helped people carry people around, whether that's by maritime, flying, four-wheel drive, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I took a job there on campus, and Belinda also. We found our place there, and we settled in, and we started working. Well, about 2 years later, we felt really strongly that we should be going overseas somewhere and helping out somewhere. So an opportunity came up in Vanuatu, which is in the South Pacific. It's a group of islands, 81 islands between Fiji, Solomon Islands, and New Caledonia.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would be the center manager running operations, and Blend would be the business manager. And so we said, okay, yeah, we'll come out for 2 years and we'll tell you, we'll do that. And we ended up staying four, and we got back about a year ago, and it's just been really great. We had the best time. And the greatest story is that even though God stopped me from being a mission pilot, He still allowed me to fly out in Vanuatu and help with some of the translators out there for some medical reasons and travel and just all kind of things. So still allowed me to do what I was called to do.
Amen. That's great. Wow. Hey, guys, this is Pastor Ron right here. Ron Greer from McKinney, Texas.
Lucky him.
He's been there all along. Don't worry. Yeah, we can.
In the background listening here.
Nice to meet you, Ron.
And Mark, as you notice, we've all come to the conclusion, right, Paul, that he has the best bookcase in the business.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Yeah. Takes it with him wherever he goes. I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm sorry about being late. This seemed like the traffic demons kept attacking me tonight.
It's Christmas. Traffic was tough. Yeah.
Whole interstate shut down. Fire department got everything shut down. Oh, Christmas.
Oh, my.
Anyway, sorry about that.
That's all right. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you. Did you get to go with him, Belinda? Did you serve with him?
Yes. We went together. We ended up staying 4 years, and we got to know Vanuatu really well since we were closed in for 4 years because of COVID. Yeah, so it was a great experience. We got to tour several islands. Just of our own making, because since we were there, because of COVID, they shut down the borders. So we were able to travel anywhere in the country of Vanuatu with freedom. And we got to meet a lot of the local people, watched how they interacted with one another, their local culture, and got to go to some of the local churches and worship with them in their way of worshiping. So it was quite an experience, totally different than what we would have experienced here in the United States.
So some of the things about Vanuatu that's just really interesting, and it's a group of 81 islands. There are 110 languages in those 81 islands with a population of about 300,000. So it's the most populated language in the world per capita anywhere else. Wow. There's probably only about, I would say, a dozen Bibles, New Testaments, that have been translated for the 110 languages so far. So there's still a lot of people that just don't have God's word in their own language. And it's just really disheartening, because you can just see when they're reading, they just don't really, they understand, but they don't understand. And so we're really trying to get the Bible in their language. It's a Christian nation. They profess to be Christians. It's probably 90% Christians. But, you know, how it is, if you don't have the Bible to study and to know what God really says, your Christianity is not too deep. And so they are influenced greatly by spiritual matters of just witchcraft and other sorts of things like that. So they mix the two together a lot of times. We had one of our translators, Christian. Great guy. He died while we were there. And so his family, they had some of the viewings and stuff there on our campus and things. And you know, as Christians, they all profess to be Christians, but yet they still put the bottled salt water out by the gates to keep the evil spirits from coming in. You know, they still just mix everything together. So it was just really great to help whatever little way we could in getting that Bible translated to some of those people out there.
Man. Wow.
So, Rich and Mark, is there a common language among them, or just different languages altogether?
No, there's some common. Not everybody speaks some of them, but it was a condominium between the French and the English. It was called the New Hebrides during the World War I. 1980, they became independent. So they have three languages. They have French, they have English, and they have Bislama, which is the local trade language.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So now again...
Yeah, you hear a lot about that, Ron.
Just for geography. So they're in between, let's see, say Fiji and
New Caledonia and Solomon Islands, 1,000 miles off the coast of Brisbane, Australia.
There you go. North. Yeah. North. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Here. Okay. All right. Okay.
I never even heard of the place before we decided to go there. We just said, yeah, we're going to go. God's leading us. We don't need to check it out or anything. We're gone. So we just hopped the plane and went.
That sounds a lot like Lompoc.
See, you don't remember the name because you're not old enough. See, back in the 70s, there was a song. Vanuatu.
I didn't even know how to pronounce it until I got there. I didn't know. It's better when I don't think too much.
Yeah. Paul says this sounds a lot like Lompoc, where he is in California.
Yeah. I'm curious. I want to back up a little bit of something that you said, Mark and Belinda. As you were trying to sense God's leading and his purpose for your life, what are some of the things that you did to discern that? I think a lot of people wrestle with that. You know, God may be calling, but they really have no idea how to figure that out. So was it just a matter that God laid it on your heart, or did certain doors open, or did you seek counsel? I mean, what was the process you used?
No, it was never something we really discussed. Our pastor at the time was preaching, it seemed to me, a lot on missions. Maybe it was just God talking to us, but he just seemed to be talking a lot about missions. And it was that point in your life, you know, when all the kids are gone, you say, like, you know, what's his job? What am I doing? I enjoyed my job. My brother and I, we ran our own business, and we were having it, you know, it was good. Everything was fine, but it just, we wanted more meaning in life than that.
I think another thing that, as we're older, if we look back on the things that we have done in missions, God prepared us along the way. I did, you know, small jobs here and there, all those experiences that God put me in led me into the job that I was able to do in Vanuatu. I didn't have a degree in business, but I knew how to do whatever job it was. And with Mark as well, he's a businessman and he understood logistics. And so the puzzle pieces just fit together.
Okay. Some missionaries, they just young and they go because they're good. Sometimes God takes a lot longer to train us old guys. And we're not ready yet until we're 55, you know, so, but God called, you know, we can't be afraid to be called even at whatever age we are. You know, if God's calling you, go, you're going to be happy. You're not going to be sad. It's going to work out. You got to do it.
Amen. I bet they were glad to see you there, Mark. And you guys showed a lot of those people because you had a little bit more age than some. I bet they looked at you as very wise and they looked forward to what God was saying through you. Yeah.
Had them fooled. Wise part. But yeah, Blood and I were kind of like the grandparents. You know, all the kids come over the house and they kind of hung out and we had sleepovers with them, things like that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was really rewarding. It was.
Wow.
So what's your involvement now with Wycliffe? And can you share a little bit?
Yeah. Well, we probably would have stayed, except we've got some family obligations that we felt we needed to come back for a while anyway. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm back. I asked him if I could work remotely for JARS again, and they accommodated me, which is great. They've been, you know, it's tremendous. And right now I'm the director of development, and I help with making sure we maintain relationships with everybody who gives for JARS, making sure we contact him, we pray for him. We make sure that they know what we're doing and understand what we're doing and the new directions we're taking. And it's all about relationships. So it's been really enjoyable. I just took over last month, so I'm still getting my feet wet and getting things done. But if God calls us, we're ready to go back somewhere else at the right time. Right now, this is the right time for us to be at JARS.
Cool. Can you tell me what JARS stands for?
Sure I can.
Okay, I'd love to hear it.
So JARS is 75 years old this past year, and we are JARS is Jungle Aviation and Relay Service. So we help with getting people that last mile. A lot of people can get so far, but it's that last mile they got to get to the villages. It takes 4 days for traveling by canoe. We get them there in 15 minutes by the air. We've had anyway, so we try to get there that last mile and get God's word translated.
Right. Amen.
We've worked a lot with our kind of our mottos and stuff is we try to reduce barriers, ease burdens, and deliver God's word. And we do that by training, equipping, and deploying and supporting our people out in the field. But that's what we do. Why we do it? We want the Bible translator. And that's what we're trying to get them out there. We just did a survey out in Africa. I guess it was Congo this past week. And what we're hearing is we've got people that are willing to work. We just can't get them there. We need you to come in here and get us there to that last mile so we can work with the people and translate and get God's word out there. So we're trying our best. We're trying to get out there.
Okay, I need for you to repeat something that you said, reduce barriers and what? What were the other two?
Reduce barriers, ease burdens, and deliver God's word.
Okay, that's great.
That amazing. That's awesome, isn't it?
Now, the pilots that are part of the ministry, are they full-time, volunteer, retired pilots? How's
Yeah, I lost you. I got you. All our pilots are full-time.
Okay.
They've got all the certifications, they're ready to go. They go to JARS for about a 3-month orientation program and review. And they we train them on how to do mountain flying. You know, some of these fields we go into with these Kodiaks are probably 1,500 feet long, and they're on a 16-degree slope. I mean, it's unreal. What they land on top of a mountain and stop them, you know. So we do some great training. We really do. And we've got three airfields at our site. We have 600 acres there in Waxhaw. In our base, and we also have an outlet in Avery County, up in the mountains in North Carolina, where we do our mountain training.
The great training ground.
Yes, it is, man.
What we needed was a video of one doing one of those drops into a valley, and
I should have got when we got them. I could just fill the whole hour up with showing like that. I love flying, man. I'm telling you, I got a passion. It's just I'm just sorry I can't do more of it.
Oh, I'm a plane freak also, my wife calls me.
Oh man, great.
One of my dreams was to fly. I never got a chance to actually. I mean, I did Cessnas and 150, 100, and 205s, but
I'm
never
inviting
got
you to JARS base right now, and I'm gonna take you up in some of those planes and helicopters, man. You tell me when and I'll be there, okay?
There you go. every chance I get, I jump in one somewhere.
All right.
You think I'm crazy. But I've seen video of some of the pilots there.
Wow.
Some of the things they do and just makes your head swim.
Yeah.
Dropping into a valley like that and landing and then even getting out of there. Oh yeah. Man, it's amazing. Well, you know, that's amazing.
When I was in Vanuatu, I told you I got a chance. There was a place there where I could rent a plane from, a charter company. They don't really rent planes. I think I was only one of two private pilots in the whole country. They didn't know how to, handle me. They didn't know how to give me a license. So, but anyway, I found a 172 there at the flag, and just an example, we had one of our missionaries had a little girl, and she had a really bad toothache. Mm-hmm. It was a big hole in her tooth. She was in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. It was going to be 10 days before she could get back to the island, the mm-hmm. capital where she could get to a dentist. And so they called me, and I was able to rent the plane, get out there in 2 hours, back in 2 hours. She had the doctor there that same day instead of waiting 10 days. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing is what JARS is all about, getting out mm-hmm. there, getting those people taken care of, and getting to where they need to be.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Have you maybe got a story that – you know, people love to hear stories like you're saying. That's a great one. You have another story maybe that you've done together and out there where you
Mega Voices and
we went to a village early on when we were in Vanuatu, and the family had this big lunch and invited everybody to church. Well, afterwards, they were all sitting around eating, and this woman was sitting on the ground, and she had a couple of children with her, elderly woman. She couldn't speak clearly, but the pastor's wife introduced me to her. And what I did when I was in Vanuatu is I loaded audio devices with the Bible in their language. And she knew, this lady knew Bislama, which is a trade language at the time. And so I loaded one of those mega voices, is what we call them, for the audio device, and gave her one. And she was so grateful and so thankful. So her husband never came to church. And later on, probably about a month later, we went back and found out that her husband had listened to that audio device and listened to God's word. He was in church from then on. He knew God's word because he heard it. Amen. He didn't have to read it. He heard God's word. And so he was in church again and worshiping.
And Elder Ann took these mega voices and she gave them to all of Parliament and the president of the country. And she made them all listen to it and read and hear the Bible.
She made them.
I took care of that. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Praise God. I love it. I've heard a number of people talk about people hearing the word of God and being saved, and a number of my theological brothers and sisters find that difficult to kind of square with their theology. And then I usually ask them, what do you do in Romans 5? and a couple other places there. It's one of those amazing, and you bring it up, and I'm reminded of a number of, I did prison ministry for years. And people don't understand the literacy rate among inmates in prisons. And just listening to the Bible or someone else reading through it or listening to recording, you'd be shocked at the number of guys who come to the Lord. And the weird thing is, they don't do very well, I guess, in the literary things. I mean, they're illiterate in some cases, but for some reason, God heightens their memory.
Yeah,
they memorize things by listening to it. And so they can repeat scripture, and you'd swear they can read until you find out they can't read at all.
Right.
But they have it in their mind. So yeah, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think sometimes literal.
Vanuatu is a very
praise
oral
God.
Culture.
I love that.
Yeah, Vanuatu is a very oral culture also, and one of the things that Blend and I did, we went with Pastor Joshua, who lives on the island of Tana. We went with him out there to his island. And what he would do is they had just gotten the Bible. So for like a week straight, every night in the church, he would invite the villagers to come in and they would just stand and read the Bible. He would just help them read it, just get comfortable about reading it and helping them to learn how to read. And some of our translators, they have classes for the people about just learning the alphabet and, you know, learning how to read and do these things so that they can feel more comfortable and not feel like self-conscious when they get in front of the church and have to read. You know, this is something as you practice more and more something, you get better at it. So he would just have people for a whole week just come to church and start, they just stand and read the Bible and take turns.
You might remember in about 96 or 7, Roger Braylon with Truth. You remember Roger Braylon and Truth? They came out, your dad loved them. They came to the church, remember? They put an album out, it's called Get It From the Word. And all they did was what you're saying. They took actual scripture and they sang it. And by having that, the melodic melodies that were really good, because they were really good, and the beautiful harmony, I mean, people would play that thing. And like Ron would say, it was in their mind and their heart. And they'd start quoting scripture, like you said, Mark. That might still be available that you could, they'd probably give you some of those to take with you and to use. It's called Get It From the Word. And it was Truth. Mm. The same group, Truth, which do you remember them at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm old enough.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah, I'm glad you remember that. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Oh, anyway, yeah. Well, that was a while back there, but I can only imagine the stories, the things that God has in store that you do that you don't make plans for them. You know, we've all had missionary friends that, at times, like you said, they've said things and had no idea that something was going to happen. And when it did, it was much greater than they could have ever imagined. And God touched and changed lives. And they could have never figured out how he did that. Isn't that a miracle? It's amazing. Yeah.
One of the things I really liked about the Nevans is the simplicity of their Christian faith. I think it's sometimes we overthink everything. We've got to study it and analyze it and cut it apart. And man, they just got the faith. If it says it, man, they believe it. If any any preacher says it, it's gospel, which is good, and it's bad because they're not really studying the word to make sure they understand it, and they're getting, and the pastors are getting it right. But I just like that simplicity. They just faith, and they taught me a lot.
Wow, that's exciting. Boy, those instances, wow, with things like that. Well, you remember remember some of those places we went, how some of those kids would get up and they'd memorize scripture. Paul and I went to 93 cities in, or 97 in 3 years at, back in Texas. In fact, they're still looking for us. But it was...
Now, my picture's in the post office. It's not...
Right. That's what, we went to one small town. They said, well, what do you, Paul says, what do you do for fun here? He says, oh, we have great Saturday night. We all go down to the post office and sit down and have ourselves paged.
We had some really big venues, didn't we? I'm curious, and I think some of our listeners would be curious as well. I did a little homework today about how many languages are spoken in the world, and by latest count, there are 7,139 languages. Mm-hmm. And the person said that put the statistics together said there are 147 language families. So there are variations, obviously, the languages, and even some of the languages are falling out of use. So they're losing that as well. I'm curious, do you know how many different languages Wycliffe has translated the scripture in? Just kind of a thumbnail you can give us.
Do you know the number?
No, I just know.
I know you can go on a website and look that up, and it's not only Wycliffe, mm-hmm. but any other translation people that do translations also are on there also. Okay. But it seems to me like there's about 1,500 that still need to be translated in some part.
Scripture Earth is the website that you can go to find out that information. Yeah. The last number, known number that I saw was about 1,500 left. Mm-hmm. We expect that most likely the Bible will be finished. Every language will be at least have John 3:16, in the next 20 years. That's the hope.
A lot of them are partial, some New Testament. The smaller number would be full Bibles. They just don't have a full Bible. So
right.
a lot of times our translators will do the New Testament, and then they'll do maybe three or four of the Old Testaments to just bring the story back together again.
Mm.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're doing new right now that I'm involved with, it's just kind of my side thing or something, is I'm part of a group that's doing a transportation needs assessment for different parts of the world. So Central Africa has asked us to come in and do a survey on a needs assessment of what they need for transportation needs. And so we're doing five countries. In a couple weeks, I'll be leaving for the Central African Republic and doing a survey there for a month. And we're going to try to figure out what their needs are, where they need to be, where the hubs need to be located, what kind of flying airplanes, what kind of four-wheel drives, motorcycles, whatever they need. That's what we're trying to figure out right now. Mm-hmm. So Charles is in a new mode right now. We're trying to set up hubs around the world so we can minister with the people there. And we're zeroing in on what we call the green band. It's that 10 degrees north, 10 degrees south of the equator, where most of the languages that need to be translated are at. And it's also the hardest part in the world to get anywhere. And so we're looking at a hub right now in Central Africa. And then we want to look at one in the Pacific, the Vanuatu, Australia, Solomon Islands area, that kind of thing. PNG, Papua New Guinea. That area right there. Papua New Guinea itself has over 800 languages that they have there. So they've got a lot of languages, the most of anywhere in the world, just not per capita as Vanuatu is. So we're working really strong on trying to get these bases done. We're trying to get as many pilots in training right now as we can. We're trying to raise the money for these bases. It's full-fledged right now. We got a new president. Can I talk to my new president for a second so I can get brownie points? So he just came up about a year ago. He was a former U.S. congressman for Oklahoma. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Army before that, and it was helpful in capturing Saddam Hussein. I'm sorry. That's not right. Who was the other guy?
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. Yeah. And he's been a pastor there in Oklahoma City, First Baptist Church in Oklahoma City for a while. And now he's our new president. And we're just really excited about some of the things he's doing. He really knows how to motivate and get things going.
Wow, that's great.
Now, what's the president's name?
It's Russell. I didn't say that, did I?
No, you didn't.
Man, thank you, Ron. I tell you, sometimes I got it, sometimes I don't.
You lost 2 points on that one, Mark. Yeah. It's exciting, though.
Look at what George is doing right now. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, especially if you've got good leadership, strong leadership, and a vision and high motivation. I know you mentioned that when the scripture was shared, people would be interested in that. How did you find the willingness of the people to hear the message, and what kind of response did you see? Did they embrace it quickly? Were they anxious to get it? Or what was your experience with that?
Yeah, very much so. They really are hungry for it. Yeah. But like we talked about earlier, they just mix things up a little bit. They want both worlds, and then they're trying to figure it out. But they really are hungry for the word. They're mm-hmm. open. There's no persecution at all. It is a great place to serve. A guy was just so generous with us when he picked a place for us to go to.
It's exciting. It's exciting. Yeah. Any arguments over what translation? King James, ESV, we seem to fight that battle in this country. Hey,
that's the linguistics problems. I'm just trying to get them there. That's all. Let them work that out.
Yeah, boy, I tell you. Exciting. It's exciting. Yeah.
I got him. You handle it, right, Mark?
Here that's
you
it.
You can get from here.
Can't do your job for you. You got to do something.
Hey, Mark, if we can you give us an address, or you have a website for people that maybe, hey, they're listening. They may want to be involved in something like this. Maybe get in some training with you, and maybe they'd like to become a pilot. Maybe, who knows? We have a different group of people. Yeah. Yeah, there's Ron.
We can do it, man. Come on. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to give my email address, and they can email me, and I can put them in touch with the right person, get the right information to them, whatever I can do.
Let's get that address again right now. Is that Mark sure, Rich?
Mark.Rich, M-A-R-K dot R-I-C-H. At jars, J-A-A-R-S .org, O-R-G.
You lost the spelling bee on that one. No.
See? Yeah, I'll get my wife to do it for you.
Jars is 2-8.
There you go.
Jars is 2-8. Thank you.
You don't want jars of 1-A. That's a whole different business.
I just get excited about what I'm talking about and forget what I'm saying.
There you go.
My goodness. Yeah. Yeah, you haven't changed. No, never change, Mark. Never change. You're the best. Never change.
Now, the Bible that you're, I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe. Sorry about that.
No, you go ahead, brother. Go ahead. We've got time.
So, the Bibles that you guys were with Wycliffe is, it's translating the Bibles, and then how are those Bibles got into the hands of people? Are people donating those? Wycliffe printing them all, sending them out? How does that work?
Well, once a Bible is finished, they are sent to a printer and they print it up. It depends on how many are printed up according to how many is in the language. But we were very fortunate to be there during the Bible dedication for one of the Bibles that was there on the island of Epi. So what happened was me and another guy, we took the Bibles on a boat and took them to the village just to have them there for the celebration ahead of time. Even us just delivering the Bibles, I mean, this is just a delivery. They had a ceremony just for the delivery, and it was just all day kind of thing. And so It was great. So we went back home, and then the celebration came up a few months, or about a month later. And it's just an all-out three-day celebration. People excited. They're not giving out. We normally sell the Bibles to the people, and it's only maybe $2, a dollar. But it just works better because they take ownership of it. It's not something given to them. It's something they bought. They treasure it more. And it's just, if you've never been to a Bible translation, something like that, and you ever get a chance, you got to go. It'll change you.
Okay. Praise God. All righty.
That is exciting. That's something. Now, well, if you need it. Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
So is Jaros, I'm going to switch it back over. So is Jaros only in certain countries, or you're in certain regions, or is it all over? Like, what's the other Christian ministry? Are you all over the place?
Well, at one time, Jaros was in quite a few places. We had bases in Brazil and PNG and in quite a few countries. Right. And about 30 years ago, they transitioned out of that, where SIL took over, or the other organizations. Okay. We still trained the pilots. We still sent people. But it wasn't under our leadership. With the new president, we're getting away from that and going back to the old way. We're setting up the bases. Jaros is going to do the actual leadership of it and implementation of the transportation. So we are going back to that way right now. But we're still training for anybody who wants to come along, like MAF or any of the other organizations. They need pilots trained. They come to us. We've got a great reputation for how we do that. Our safety record is excellent, and we all work well together. We all give and take. Okay. We need a Kodiak for training, and Jaros MAF sends us theirs. We're all one.
In Christ.
Okay. Right. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
I love it.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Paul, I don't know if you remember. At Hart and Simmons, when we were students, a Wycliffe translator came to chapel and showed us how the language was translated, you know, using a basic kind of thing. And when he finished it, it was really cool because it was West Texan. And you know, you've got to be really sharp. You know, there's so many different dialects in Texas. Right, Ron? Am I kidding? No, I'm not kidding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm amazed how a Texan can talk to a North Carolinian and even communicate. It's just,
it took me a while.
We have 22 different languages in Texas.
Yeah. When I was, when we were in Vanuatu, I was trying to learn Bizlama. And so in Bizlama, it takes a lot from the Australians. They take away a lot of R's in Australia. Well, me being from West Texas, we like to add a lot of R's.
Right.
And I would say the right thing, and it just wasn't coming across. They couldn't understand a word I said.
Yeah, I got really tickled because I took voice and diction at Hart and Simmons, and it was taught by a Texan. And so it was really fun, really fun.
You remember that night, Paul, the teenagers were in the room, and Somebody said, well, somebody came in and said, we have to leave. And they were being very strong. We got to go. And this man, Ron Tennyson, we've got to leave right now. And this girl screamed and jumped out on the table. He thought there was a rat in there. Right now.
Rat now. Yeah.
I looked around. I'd never heard of rat now, but that's it.
I love Texas, too, because a complete statement is, well, I'll tell you what, and that's the end of it, you know. So good stuff. I think that just points out the difficulty of what translators are up against to understand local idioms and things like that. I mean, that's got to be really confusing. You know,
like I said, I'm not the translator, but I do talk to them a lot, and you know, they'll go in and there won't even be an alphabet. There won't be a written language for it, so they've got to come up with the alphabet. Then what they do is they come up with a dictionary. They have all the villagers come together and they just start writing words down and what they mean. And they make up a dictionary. And then they'll start with learning the language and then translation. So it might be 5 years before they even start the translation process. I mean, it's quite intense what they have to do sometimes.
I would think so.
It's amazing. I just have so much respect for them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take just a second here before we kind of wind this a little. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my time. I got to say this tonight. So the other two guys are going to start praying because Stephanie's not here and this is her job. But
already pray.
Yeah, go ahead. Three pastors, so we always pass it off. But we just want you to know we appreciate you tuning in and watching the program each week and sharing the program. I know that you tune in on five or six different platforms we're on now, and you always share with me what you're getting out of the program. We appreciate it very much. We are your family on Monday. We want to be part of your extended Christian family. So, but if you'll go to our website, if the Lord lays on your heart at all, maybe this time of year, the season of giving, if possible, we could use your help. A lot of people make love gifts, donations to Raising Expectation. If TJ's there, or if you just write down the site, you can just go to bbsradio.com, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And that's our main site right there. And you can see there's a Venmo scan, a donation scan. I think all you do is put your phone up to that. I promise it won't blow your phone up, but it does allow you to make a donation to us. And also with PayPal is right there. Many of you have been so kind and gracious to help us this way. It allows us to stay with BBS, the greatest guys in the world, and to keep coming to you each week. So it's on there. And go to the site also. It tells about what we do a little bit, and you'll see some of the story there. You've seen on our programs are there. Mark and Belinda's program will be showing there on our schedule. You'll be able to read about that. And there's Paul and Ron, and you can get information on how to check them out or talk to them on their websites in different places. And also our books are there. You can find, we put a library up. There's my book, A Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. Not just regular hope, but authentic. That takes you through the storm and the clouds are clearing. Mm-hmm. And then you got Ron's book there, Saved, how Craig found God in the ordinary things of life. And that's where God does his greatest work when we're looking. So we invite you to look for that also. Also, we want you to remember M-A-R-K, mark.rich, R-I-C-H, at jaars.org. And drop them a note. Hey, maybe you're praying. Maybe God's talking to you about helping in missions. Maybe God's got something special. Maybe you got a grandson. Maybe you're coming out of school and saying, gee, I wonder if I could serve the Lord that way. Get a hold of Mark and get a hold of Belinda here and tell them because God's using them in a special way. And I tell you what, they're precious people. They've blessed my life for many years. And so you got a good opportunity there to get in touch with them and just talk to him some more and see what's going on. We're going to try to get him back. We're going to see if we can let that guy, Mr. Russell, come in with him maybe in February. See if we can bring him in and tell a little bit more about how they're getting the planes ready for Ron, which will be really great when he's ready to sign up and fly for me. Ron, you and I would
love to. My wife would be excited to hear this. Hear this recording here.
Yeah, this is.
My wife would be excited to hear this recording.
They'd put us in a crop duster. We'd be in trouble, but not a real plane. But I do fly a P-51 Mustang in my dreams. I love World War II movies, so I guess I just take that all the time. But if you need that help, we'll be there. Mark and Belinda, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thanks for sharing thank what you're doing in your lives.
Thank you
Love
for
and
having
appreciate you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yes.
Thank you so it's much.
Pleasure to meet you too.
We'll be back in touch and Merry Christmas to him, right, guys?
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Stephanie,
it's what it's all about, right, Joe? What it's all about. This is our wine. Right.
The greatest gift ever given was the gift of Jesus at Christmas, right? He came so he could be one of us, so that he could struggle life with us, so that he could pay the price for us. And he's coming again to get us. Can't wait to see. It's going to be something great. So anyway, what time is it here? We're six. Time goes by. All right. Hey, Ron, thanks for getting in there, man. We're glad you're safe. We pray the traffic's no fun. Love and appreciate you, bro. Okay. We weren't worried. We knew you'd be there.
Guys, appreciate it.
Yeah, God bless you, brother. Love you, man.
Okay. Thank you. Love you, too. You bet. And Rich and Belinda, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. It was nice to meet you all. Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. We'll be talking to you.
Bless you. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Take care. God bless. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you. And remember, the Lord loves you, and so do we. We'll see you later. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.